bill calling for nonpartisan redistricting in 2021 was reintroduced to the state legislature yesterday. Redistricting happens every 10 years after the census when states redraw the lines that make up congressional and state legislative districts. The process is contentious this time, no exception. Governor Evers said he expects to veto the redistricting plan brought forth by the Republican-controlled legislature, even though that plan doesn't exist yet. The governor also said he expects Wisconsin's election boundaries for the coming decade to be ultimately decided in the courts. We're talking now about redistricting in Wisconsin, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on Wisconsin's redistricting process? Do you think it needs to change? Do you agree with the idea of having some kind of outside nonpartisan organization draw these maps? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief and co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Lot of bits and pieces of this story. Let's start in the state Supreme Court, Sean. They rejected this petition that would send lawsuits about redistricting straight to the state Supreme Court. Can you tell us about that challenge and that decision?
Yeah, this was a rules petition by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a conservative group that kind of has its hands in, you know, many, if not most, of the high profile issues of the day in Wisconsin state government. And so the will petition would have had any redistricting cases go automatically to the state Supreme Court. So the court rejected that, but that's not to say that they couldn't end up there in the future anyway. You know, the court could take them through the usual appeals process. It could decide to take them directly as an original action, but it's not going to take them automatically and, you know, theoretically block a federal court from getting involved or something along those lines.
Why would Will want to go straight to the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court? Do not pass go, do not collect $200. What was their reasoning for wanting it to go to the highest court in the state?
I'm glad you went to the Monopoly.
Of course, it
popped right in my head.
They were riding the race car, wearing the top hats. It was all there, Sean.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, if you look at what Will says is a matter of policy, they're often defending the legislature just as a policymaking body. If you look practically and politically, Will is a group that is aligned with Republicans. The Supreme Court has a majority that is aligned with Republicans on most issues. I mean, it's a 4-3 conservative majority for an officially nonpartisan court. And so, you know, practically speaking, it would have sent redistricting to a court where Will knows the players. It also could have potentially helped Republicans be in the driver's seat when it comes to redistricting lawsuits. You know, if a case goes directly there, the legislature kind of knows what's going to happen, you know, and they could basically control things a little bit more than they could if they're unsure about, you know, how this litigation is going to proceed.
Let's talk about why it seems like everybody assumes this is all going to end up in the courts, Sean. The state legislature draws these maps. It's dominated by Republicans, so they get control over that. But the Democratic governor can veto it, right? So then what?
Yeah, so that's why it's a pretty safe assumption that courts are going to have a huge role in redistricting this time around. And I mean, if you even look at the 2011 redistricting cycle, Republicans had the assembly, the Senate, and the governor's office. You know, this is pretty well known by now. They drew a map that helped them maintain and grow their majorities over the next decade. But even that map, which was drawn and signed by Republicans, ended up in court. There was a lawsuit in 2012 that was heard by a federal court. And then there was a lawsuit in 2015 that, you know, made it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's a pretty safe bet that redistricting will end up in court because of the high stakes. And then just practically speaking right now in Wisconsin, when you have a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor, I can tell you they're not going to agree on much.
Talking to Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, looking at redistricting, drawing the maps by which we elect our lawmakers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sean, in Wisconsin, the governor has a line item veto power for the state budget. The governor does not have a line edit veto power, right, for these maps. The governor has to be thumbs up or thumbs down. He can't break out the eraser.
Yeah, the budget, it's an appropriations bill. So when you have an appropriations bill, the governor can get creative. When it's a map, you can bet that Republicans aren't going to attach that to an appropriations bill and give the governor that kind of power. So he'd have to give it an up or down, you know, sign it or veto it. And if they don't incorporate his ideas, which they've given no indication that they will, I mean, the Republican leaders, especially Speaker Voss, have said, this is our job. We don't really want to hear from the governor's proposals here. This is the legislature's job. So you can see how this is going to play out.
Now, the governor created this thing called the People's Maps Commission last year. What have they been doing?
They have held a number of hearings that were ended up being virtual hearings over the past year. And, you know, some of them got way into the weeds, I would say, on the redistricting math and what goes into decisions about drawing a map. So they learned a lot about the process, I guess you say. And the most recent thing that they've done kind of from a substantive perspective is they decided what criteria they're going to look at when they draw the people's map, you know, as the governor has dubbed it through this commission. So one of the interesting things that is in those criteria is that they are going to look at something called partisan fairness. So in addition to all the other redistricting criteria that they have to look at, like maps that are roughly equal in population, maps that adhere to the Federal Voting Rights Act, they are going to consider past election results as they look at the map, with the goal of having a legislative map that more closely mirrors Wisconsin's 50-50 statewide elections. So that is going to be one of the mathematical concepts they look at as they judge these maps. Of course, a map that was closer to 50-50 would be far beneficial, a much better deal for Democrats, I guess you'd say, than what they have right now, where even in a 50-50 statewide election or a Democratic win statewide, they really have had no luck chipping away at the Republican majority.
Now, that People's Maps Commission in no way binding on state lawmakers. So, Sean, one option here is, okay, Republicans control the legislature, governor is Democratic. They can have their people call their people, get together and work together on a map. Why not?
I just don't, you know.
I mean, it's almost a joke. I know it's not going to happen. But, you know, in theory, yeah. There's a world where that could happen.
In theory, there is a world where that could happen, yes. But I think you're more likely to see something where the People's Maps Commission produces this map, knowing practically what the realities are in the legislature and what's going to happen there. And they could still then present it to a court and say, look, we were transparent with how we drew this. These are our criteria. This is the reason we did this. Court, as you are considering which plan to adopt for Wisconsin for the next decade, we would like you to consider this. And then the legislature could present to the court and say, hey, we're the legislature. This is our constitutional duty here. We'd like you to consider our plan. I'm sure they'd be more forceful than that, but you could imagine the two sides making arguments like that. It's harder to imagine the two sides working together on a compromise.
And timeline wise, Sean, this is all coming from census data. The census got backed up a little bit. When are we going to start seeing, maps show up in the legislature and get voted on?
So in some states, they are kind of preemptively passing maps. And I mean, I haven't seen that yet in Wisconsin, but states will pass a map based on, you know, population estimates are the best numbers they have available so they can kind of lock in their court battle of choice, basically. So I don't know that that's going to happen in Wisconsin, but it is something that's happened elsewhere. If the process waits until we have census data to work with, you know, these census blocks, which are the building blocks of political maps, that'd be mid-August before they can work on that. So later than usual, because the census is later than usual because of the pandemic.
Sean, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. He joined us with the latest news on redistricting and legal disputes over the state's election maps. We'll hear more about redistricting coming up, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about the issue of gerrymandering? Do you think there's a better way to draw our maps? Is this something you are worried about? Did you participate in a local referendum in one of the counties or local governments that weighed in on this issue? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We continue our talk about redistricting and partisan gerrymandering in Wisconsin as the state prepares to redraw its legislative districts this year. You can join in with your thoughts. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. Lily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on today, Rob.
Let's talk about this concept of gerrymandering, first of all. It's been a big topic in Wisconsin politics lately. How does it work?
Gerrymandering actually comes from the name of a fellow from Massachusetts named Elbridge Gerry. I think I'm saying his name correctly, his first name. And this was the first instance of the sort of weird drawing, and the drawing that was done of the maps in Massachusetts had this one that looked like apparently a salamander. And most American government or American history textbooks have a picture of this. And it got the name gerrymander because it was done by Mr. Gerry. And so that has been with us since the time of our founding, because that was pretty much in the 1780s.
And both parties these days, it seems like, given the opportunity, will do it. Our neighbors in Illinois have had Democratic majorities do some gerrymandering. Here in Wisconsin and elsewhere, we've had Republicans. It's a way for a party that happens to hold power in those years divisible by 10 to try to keep their power, right?
Exactly. And what is usually attempted in designing these districts, and it's not necessarily, you know, how peculiar the shape is, but it's about, you know, how many of the opposite party can they sort of shove into one district so that that support isn't spread out? And how can the support of the party in power be spread out so that more seats can be captured? These terms are usually known as cracking and packing in terms of putting people in districts. And so what we've seen in the United States with regard to gerrymandering is the sort of incumbency rate in the United States House of Representatives in particular to be particularly high. And most of the time, the competitive races are primaries and not necessarily the general election.
And I've seen, Lily, people point toward gerrymandering, at least in part, as a cause of polarization in America. If I'm in a safe seat, I don't need to worry about appealing to people from the other party because their votes just don't matter. And as you mentioned, on the primary side of things, I need to worry more about the people in my party and catering to their needs. Is there something to that?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, again, I teach in the 5th District here in Wisconsin, in Waukesha, and Jim Sensenbrenner was in that seat for more than, I think, 20 terms. And sometimes he didn't even draw an opponent in the general election. I mean, he often didn't draw a primary challenger either. And again, his seat's one of the most secure seats in the United States Congress, but it is kind of an acute example of that sort of situation where you just don't necessarily have to pay attention to the folks who are voting against you because the overwhelming number of people are going to vote for you.
Now, here we are in Wisconsin. As we just heard from Sean Johnson, given divided government, this is probably going to end up in the courts. Is it, and our last round, as Sean mentioned, ended up in the courts too. is it really common nationwide to see the courts get involved in drawing and editing these lines?
Oh, absolutely. And even when you have, you know, sort of a strange situation, I was living in the Twin Cities in Minnesota after the 2000 census. And at that time, you had Governor Jesse Ventura, who is from a third party, and you had Democrats and Republicans in charge of the various two houses in the legislature in Minnesota. So you actually had three maps that were presented from the three different parties that held office at the time. And of course, they went through the court system in Minnesota, and I think probably the federal courts as well. And you've also seen this with regard to voting in, particularly in some of the southern states, and the strange sort of assembly of shapes and districts to try to push African Americans all into one district. And so it's not necessarily always just partisan, although obviously there is now often connections between the partisan disposition of particular racial groups. So you have gerrymandering that happens in a variety of different ways.
Talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University about redistricting here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller now. Tess is with us in Lodi. Tess, hi.
Hi, I'm calling because I think it's an interesting point in Wisconsin that the legislature is so far apart from the general population in their opinion of gerrymandering, because polls that have been taken around the state and whenever there has been have shown heavy support in both Democratic and Republican areas to end gerrymandering and implement fair maps. And that is reflected also whenever there's been a referendum on a ballot. They've all passed overwhelmingly for fair map. And yet our legislature hasn't yet necessarily gotten this message. It'll be an interesting year, of course. But for all the reasons that gerrymandering is so harmful to our democracy, I just wanted to call as a citizen and let all of the other citizens know, many of them already know, how to act. But I think a lot of us feel helpless in the face of, you know, the citizenry wants action, and yet how to communicate that to the legislature. It's not hard to do. It's something that we can all talk about as a population to each other on Facebook. We can send letters to the editor and keep the media tuned in. I actually sent a letter this morning to four or five different newspapers, and hopefully they'll print that in reference to the Fair Maps rally that was held at the Capitol yesterday.
And Tess, I'm going to jump in. You gave us a lot to work with. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And Lily, I don't know, once upon a time, if you'd asked me, is redistricting something people are going to get fired up about, I would say no, probably not. But Tess and many other people are examples to the contrary. Do you think there's enough interest and excitement about redistricting that that people are going to be speaking up and maybe get heard about this?
Well, again, this is also not just indigenous to Wisconsin. This is something that we've seen in ballot measures in other states as well, where there have been referenda in the entire state to advocate for or to push through proposals for a nonpartisan or bipartisan commission to do this work instead of the legislature. The difficulty for the legislature, be it Republican, Democrat, Reform Party, as I said, in Minnesota, is that they're designing the seats that they hold. So they have a vested interest in holding those seats and keeping as many as they can for themselves. And so the demand that the people want, which is, you know, perhaps a more sort of equal distribution of seats, either in the state house or in Washington, D.C., in the United States Congress, it goes against the interests of oftentimes those elected to represent us, because they want to keep having that job. And so they don't want to necessarily literally erase their seat.
Tess, thanks a lot for that call. And Lily, the early results from the census suggest a stagnant or declining population in some rural counties in Wisconsin that have trended Republican lately, rising population in Dane and surrounding counties that have been turning into this Democratic super block. As these new lines get drawn, what are you watching for as they reflect those demographic changes?
Well, again, you have to, you know, make sure that the states districts essentially are equal in terms of population one to another. Otherwise, they are in violation of the one person, one vote kind of basis of our democracy. And so the question will be, what does the redesign do with regard to having more dense population in something like a Dane County Democratic stronghold when you have the Republicans in charge of both houses and the legislature?
In our last minute or so, Lily, are you seeing a trend toward change to some kind of nonpartisan redistricting formula in states around the country?
Yeah, I mean, there are about 13 states that use commissions to draw these. And there are about 20 states or more that have commissions that do this work. So you have not quite half the states that have taken it away from the legislature. But again, you don't necessarily have legislators who want to actually cede that power either. So you often have to have the voters vote on a referendum to put it on the ballot to then vote to take this power away from their state house legislators.
And in a state like Wisconsin, where we don't have binding referenda, it seems unlikely that that'll happen, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Lily, thanks again for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. She joined us today for a look at redistricting this year in Wisconsin.